Invite you to turn with me now to Scripture, to begin with the 111th Psalm. Listen for the word of God. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. And from the Gospel according to Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. They kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is often a pretty huge gap between what we ask for and what we receive. We can ask for Prince or Princess Charming, but what we tend to get is a partner in mortgages, grocery shopping, and vacuuming. We can ask for the Super Bowl, but what we usually get is a few wins and a missed touchdown at the last second. We can ask for a pony, we get a My Little Pony. We ask for the fairy tale, but we're aware that we'll usually get reality. And yet, here, as happens so often with Jesus, we get total unreality. Try to imagine yourself heading to worship one day, asking for a simple sermon, maybe some light healing, and instead getting a scene out of The Exorcist. Voices shrieking, a body flailing around, the preacher having a heated exchange with some demonic voice from beyond. You know, just a typical day at the synagogue. Who is this guy? He's someone extraordinary. He's someone with a voice, with the truth, with authority. Even the voice of the demon knew that Christ was something different. Okay, that's all very impressive in an ancient historical tale in a book we can close and put away. But in today's church setting, we want a more convenient Messiah. Thank you very much. Being there in that crowd makes Jesus a little too up close and personal. Here, Jesus is even a little confrontational. How awkward. We'd prefer a Jesus who keeps things neat and tidy and about 45 minutes or less. We want a soundbite answer of who we should be, who we can get away with disliking, and the bare minimum requirements to satisfy the description of being Christian. We would like to avoid having to think about this too hard, and we'd definitely like to avoid anything as severe and dramatic as this particular scene. But Jesus doesn't just come and heal or come and offer the simple things that would help us sleep better at night. He comes in and raises a ruckus. Christ tends to ignore our expectations. Instead, he often turns them on their head, offering us more than we asked for and more than we bargained for, offering us instead abundance. And he does so with authority. So where exactly does that come from? How does one obtain this authority? Is it something that you are given? Something that you take? Or something that comes from having power or position or prestige? There are some jobs that seem to come with inherent power. Police officers, teachers, even ministers. But that is all authority that can be taken away if the person holding that position lacks integrity. In a way, the people of the temple may have been asking about Christ's cred, as it were. Healing on the Sabbath was against the teaching of the law, and here was this upstart doing something new, something a bit wild. Just who does he think he is? What theological schools has he attended? What degrees hang on his wall? Under which big-name rabbi did he write his thesis? Christ's authority comes from none of these places, and yet was incredibly obvious to those present that day. It seems pretty appropriate that the Gospel of John would refer to Jesus as the Word, that which springs from an author, the ultimate source of authority. Christ didn't simply hear the word and communicate it. Christ preaches with the authority of actually being the word. He was the authority. He was of the same authority that was in the beginning and the same authority that will be forever. At the very start of the story of creation, in Genesis, God doesn't just think the world into existence. God speaks words. God said into the darkness, "Let there be light." And it was the authority of these words that made it so. That authority might be easier to know and trust when you have a physical, walking and talking version of God in your presence. But today, we don't have it quite that easy when it comes to figuring out who has authority. We have to go through a process of discernment, of figuring things out. The more life experiences we have, the more most of us learn that we can't just take things at face value. We need to experience, explore, and examine. We try to figure out who we can trust and to learn from our mistakes. We find out the difference between what is right and what is easy. Over the last year or so, there have been a series of thousands of homemade videos populating YouTube, made by people both famous and not, under the project heading, "It Gets Better." Three simple words, an overwhelming response. The "It Gets Better" campaign was founded in response to a rash of teen suicides, mostly of young people in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning community, also known as LGBTQ, in response to excruciating bullying at the hands of their peers. People who are among those targeted by bullies, and those who are their friends, and those of immense power and privilege who are lending their voices as allies, all contributed to this collection of videos. Standing up to a bully, even behind the barrier of the internet, is not always easy, but it is right. The message of the videos is clear and simple. You are not alone. You are loved, and things will get better. It is not a message of hatred towards bullies or one that disregards the pain of those being bullied, but instead it strives to express love and support. While the PCUSA has undergone and continues to struggle with the question of the ordination of members of the LGBTQ community, there can be no doubt that those who follow Jesus Christ hear his presence in promises of love, encouragement, and support for those undergoing the torment of bullying. What greater authority could there be than the communication of love, mercy, and compassion? These three little words, "It gets better," are an embodiment of the word. Still, not all decisions in life come with such a public swell of authority. Sometimes we have to look for the word in quieter, subtler places. For the last 3 years or so, I have been wrestling with a sense of torn call. I felt called to the life of parish ministry and called to help in the anti-human trafficking movement. Each granted me a sense of fulfillment that strongly resembles what I believe call to be. I was sure God wouldn't call me to two different places and vocations at once, yet I felt sure in each role that this could be the right place for me. Thanks to the generosity of Wildwood Presbyterian Church, my friends, and my family, I've been given the opportunity to gain experience in each call. After spending last summer working with the organization Stop the Traffic in London, I became sure that I would always have a heart for volunteering in the fight against human trafficking, but that my call was to serve in the church. Knowing that the Presbyterian Church does not allow ordination into one's childhood church, I knew it was time to begin my search. After circulating my pastor resume and spending a few months interviewing, I found a call that I am thrilled to accept. Last Sunday, I was voted into the role of pastor at First United Presbyterian Church of Loveland, Colorado, a vibrant community of artists and families, social justice activists, and people eager to discover God's will in their lives and in the world. Moments into my in-person interview back in December, I was sure this was the community God was calling me to serve. I had figured out where Christ's authority was leading me. Imagine then my surprise at getting an email from the search committee alerting me to the new presence of an anti-human trafficking organization starting up in Loveland, on the block between my future apartment and the church I will be serving. It's an organization that neither the committee nor I were aware of prior to this newspaper article. And several members of First United Presbyterian Church of Loveland have already expressed an interest in getting involved. This group is planning to build safe houses for girls rescued from slavery. To give you a sense of perspective, there are currently 5 safe houses specifically for girls rescued from this kind of exploitation across the entire United States. One in Atlanta, one in Chicago, one in New York, one in LA, and one in Sacramento, and soon one in Loveland, Colorado. Of course, God's authority doesn't always make sense in the scope of our limited vision of the world. Of course, God isn't calling me or any of us to just one simple thing. God is calling us to a new kind of authority, a simple and earth-shattering new interpretation of the word through Jesus Christ. It is the call to a life more abundant, more than we bargained for, more than we dared to request, more than we ever thought possible. Pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for your abundance. Train our ears to be attuned to your authority. In Jesus' name, amen.